Welcome to the Living Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Preston M. Smith. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living Artist Podcast. I'm Preston M. Smith, at PMS Artwork Everywhere on internet land and socials. I want to thank you for landing on this podcast. Whether you're a professional artist, just getting started in the art world, a collector of art, or just consider yourself a creative person, this podcast has something for you. I like to think of it as a fun way to rant and talk to other creative people about living the life of an artist, surviving and getting ahead in the art world, and enjoying your life. But most importantly, not waiting until you're dead to make it happen. All right, let's get started.
This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
I would have asked if you were ready, but I don't do that. I'm professional so here. All right. We're here with Amy Mandela. Thank you for coming up, making the trek up to the Valley. You are one of the few guests that I've actually had back in the studio.
Yeah. I'm excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And sorry, I'm just checking something here. Okay. We're good. Amy is kind of a relatively new to the scene artist, I would say. How long have you been doing this?
Well, as far as putting my work out in public, I would say about a year and a half, just about a year and a half. I kind of got into drawing, like really into drawing about October of 2019.
Yes.
So, and then I started an Instagram for it in February 2020. So
okay.
Then just kind of all.
And you got into it at a good time with the pandemic. So you're like, okay, now I have time to draw. Amy is a very busy person.
Yes.
I'm a busy person, so I know one when I see one. And you even beat me. I don't even like to say that. In your busyness, you are a COO of an architectural firm, correct?
Yes.
That's amazing. We're going to get into all that, but Amy's also... She's got a new studio. She's got two kids. She's like all over the art scene, all over Los Angeles. So do you want to just jump in and get started with like an origin story? Tell us how you kind of started out. I know you had some beginnings where you were interested in art and how that led to where you are today. So you can take as long as you want. You can start where you want.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Long Beach. I mean, is that how
LBC.
Origin we're getting?
Yeah, I don't. Sorry, I got to stop you. Did you see Amy curated like an all-women's show at Chalkbox? And I put in the comments, it was really dumb, but I was like, so much drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being aimed to the double E. And I think one person caught it.
I'm really sad I missed that.
You missed
comment.
It? Oh, yeah. Well, we can use it. We can put it in the show notes.
Some gold right
so,
there.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, grew up in Long Beach. I have three siblings. I have two brothers and a sister. I'm the baby of the family.
Oh,
so,
nice.
But yeah, probably a huge part of my kind of upbringing was my father's an architect, and and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, you know, and you know, took care of us and stuff. But I feel like with my dad being in that industry, I've always had some connection to that and just kind of, you know, art in general. And that stems back four generations. So I have,
Wow. Yeah,
a deep history in architecture.
Are all of those generations in the United States?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but we are all from, we are. My family is from Ireland, so
we
made their way over.
Ireland.
Yeah.
Welcome. Another good Irish lass.
Yeah.
I thought it was Italian.
No, that's actually my married name.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
right.
My maiden name is
of course, Durr. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you're like full-blown Irish?
Totally, yeah. Like really, really Irish.
really Irish.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So I'm about half Irish. I'm a mutt, but like that's the biggest part of me.
Yeah.
Have you been to Ireland?
I haven't been yet. Gotta go. I want to go.
Yeah. We'll talk about that off, sure. But sorry, continue. I keep interrupting.
Yeah. Oh, so, basically I never really wanted to be, an architect, but I always was surrounded by that environment, you mm-hmm. know, dinner talks at the table were, you know, about design or figuring out a problem or whatever. And my sister is an architect, my brother's an engineer. So okay. It's very much like, you know, just a part of my upbringing. But I was always really into writing. Mm-hmm. So I started writing letters when I was like 7 years old. I had a friend that I played soccer with that she like wrote me a letter. Both of our names were Amy and she spelled it the same way, which is like very unique.
That is unique.
So I was like, okay, so we're best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And she like wrote me a letter and then I just was like, wow, that's so cool. Like, and so I just started like writing letters to everybody I knew. Like if I met you and I liked you, I'd be like, okay, what's your address?
Really?
Yeah. And I'd write like 10 letters a day.
Oh, wow.
And I would do that.
We're talking by hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, nice. I'm starting to see where the drawing comes from. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, from very early age, I was very happy just being in my own little bubble writing or doodling. So whether it was writing or, you know, kind of doodling and stuff, it was always, there was always that kind of creative energy. And I would much rather do that than like watch TV or anything. So that was kind of my jam. And so I ended up, you know, being a creative writing major in college. And so that was really my focus. And I just really enjoyed that. And I always kind of looked at architecture as like something that was like I'm not, you know, a part of that. That's too technical for me. I'm not like that. You know, I'm more free and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then after college, I was just kind of like, all right, what am I going to do with the creative writing major? You know, it's like people are like, okay, like, are you going to be a teacher? Are you going to, you know, write for a magazine or a newspaper? And I just didn't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of really kind of dig and see like, all right, like what means something to me?
Yes.
And I did a couple, like, I don't want to say odd jobs because they're not odd at all, but they were odd for me. I did like property management for mm-hmm. a while. I did medical billing for a while, you know, and then I was just like, none of these like rang true for me, you know? And so I started doing some digging on my family history. And luckily, my family is like insane about documentation. Like we have a family website that has like,
You
know, I have like old hand renderings from, you know, my great grandfather. I have, you know, birth certificates, old pictures, you know, just like so much history. And I just
That's cool.
really, really connected with it. And then I was in the middle of this kind of like existential moment where I'm like, okay, like what am I doing with my life? And I was driving in Long Beach and I saw a building under construction and it had a sign that was an architecture firm. And I was just like, I'm just going to call them and like see if they're hiring.
Oh, nice.
And so I called and I got an interview the next day and then I got hired right away. Like,
oh, wow,
if
really?
Not on the spot, like I got a call right after. So, and I think
did
a lot of it.
Did you just interview really well? Or, you made a good impression.
I really did. No. Yeah. Well, I think that they had some people in administrative positions there previously, but maybe didn't understand the ins and outs of the business as much. And mm-hmm. so the fact that I had that kind of foundation from my family, I knew the language. And my boss distinctly told me later, like, that he hired me because I came in and I was like, I don't want a job. I want a career.
Oh, wow.
You know, so yeah. I was like serious about it. And, you know, it wasn't like a stopping point to jump somewhere else. It was like, no, I'm like, I want to do this.
Yes.
You know?
Consistency.
Yeah.
I just see you coming in with your family tree and be like, boom, and upset. Like, you're hired.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I was wondering how this started. I didn't know if it was something where maybe you even had some, you know, familial connections or something like people were doing architecture and you're like, just the family business, you know?
Yeah, no, it wasn't even connected to my family at all.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was just totally on my own, just kind of like showed up and got lucky. They're a great firm and I've been with them for 14 years. And
wow.
Just kind of worked my way up.
14 years, that's job security.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're like, now I'm going to burn it all down. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I was wondering if, is it something, let's get to right now. Is it something you're thinking about maybe jumping in full time as an artist? Or is this something that you're just exploring right now?
Well, I think that like, you know, there would need to be major financial stability in order to do that. Right now, I think that like it's more, I feel like I have 2 full-time jobs.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Which
you're like moonlighting as an artist.
Yeah.
Seriously. Cause when I look at you and what you're doing on social media or showing up at shows, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
You're showing in galleries, you know, across the country. You're in Shockbox all the time. Like, we went to Joy Ray's show this weekend and you're like, oh yeah, I was hanging that. I was like, what? You know, how do you have time to do all this? So,
It's a good balance. I mean, it is a little crazy. I don't sleep as much as I should.
Right.
But that's kind of how I started. It's like, especially with 2 kids, it's like I, you know, couldn't really do it while they were up because they're, you know, 8 and 4 and they're like,
yeah,
you know, they need attention and it's a lot of activity and
you're like
running around.
Stay in the corner. Mom's drawing.
So, so a lot of times I start drawing after I put them to bed.
Okay.
And so I would be up until, you know, sometimes.
You're like, they're like, Mom, it's 4 o'clock. You're like, just get to bed.
It's bedtime.
It's bedtime.
Yeah. So probably from like, you know, like 8:30 up until like midnight. And then if I'm on like a serious roll, like if I just, you know, I'm on that kick and mm-hmm. I'm like close to the end of something or there's some like, you know, I'm having a moment. Like there's definitely been times where I've gone to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then had to wake up at like 6.
Definitely
go to work the next day, you know. So
well, and that's something with more realistic type art. Like I know when I used to do pop realism, I had times where like if you're in a groove and you're yeah. feeling it, you're not going to stop. I had a couple times where I was up till 6 a.m.
Yeah,
and it was like a 14-hour session. I like hadn't eaten, so I completely understand.
Yeah,
but also I was waiting tables at the time. You have like a legit serious job. So has that gotten in the way at all of your work?
Well, I do feel like that. You know, a lot of times because it's so new and I'm so obsessed with it,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like I'm thinking about it all the time.
Yes.
So sometimes I feel like in my normal job, I'm thinking about art, you know,
yeah.
and where I should really just be thinking about my job. But yeah, it's like I'm constantly switching on and off,
mm-hmm.
you know, both sides of the brain. And
sure.
And so it's. But I love it. Like I couldn't go without, and I don't know that I could go without my day job. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I feel like they hit two different parts of me that are satisfying.
Yes.
So although it is like, I feel like at one point, you know, I might just burst from like all of the energy that it takes
Run
to
out
put
of
in.
Gas,
and like, that's the thing. I do need to like dial it down sometimes and just try to like, sometimes it's hard for me to be away from, you know, creating and making art. Cause it's just, it's so much a part of me. And it's almost like when I don't do it, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, all right, it's 9 o'clock. All right, I'm going to
yeah.
like, I don't really watch that much TV. Like I watch very little TV. And
that's
so,
good.
You know, I just like, that's what I do to kind of like settle my mind,
yeah.
you know? So.
Well, and it's cool because it's like always giving you something to look forward to.
Yes.
I know a lot of people are stuck in their job and it's just like, oh man, I'm in a rut. Like they've got nothing to feel like they have purpose with.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you feel yeah. like you have purpose with your job. You sound
sure.
like you really like your day job too.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like something that's always keeping you excited. And
totally.
That's so important.
And
because
I
hated my job.
Yeah.
And it was like, if I couldn't have made it as an artist,
right.
I would have probably, like seriously, I would have killed myself. I might have.
Yeah.
I was at that point. And I know a lot of other artists are that way. So it's nice to hear that. That's also part of the reason why I was very interested in hearing your story, because there are a lot of artists. It's not like every, you know, we're all cut from the same cloth. It's not like everybody's going to, you know, start creating, selling work online, make a living like I do that way
or, yeah.
or through a gallery, brick and mortar
sure.
gallery. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, maybe it's a side hustle. Maybe it's something that's just a passion project.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something that just fulfills you in a certain way. And you can make some income off of it too, you know,
sure.
some supplemental income.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm wondering. I mean, and I also don't want to put you on the spot because if anybody from your job is listening, she's quitting her job in 2 months.
This is my notice.
Yeah, yeah, right. Here's your official notice on a podcast. Well, that's cool. I like to hear that. Or did you have something else you were going to finish
no,
up about
I
the origin?
No, I just think what struck me with what you were just saying is just, you know, when you are kind of around other people with that passion and drive, like it's just so contagious, you
yes.
know? And it's just kind of like, I feel like when I surround myself with that, it just revs me up even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just so grateful for the community that, you know, I've found
yeah.
and like feel so lucky to stumble upon and be a part of, because like, I really feel like, you know, a lot of these artists have pushed me you know, and although like I very much can work in my own little bubble and push myself. And mm-hmm. I feel like in the beginning, that's definitely what it was. But then after a while, it became this open dialogue and mm-hmm. it became this collaboration, and not only with other artists, but just also with, you know, some of the work. I mean, a lot of the work that I do is I use reference photos. So
yeah,
those people who took that photo, it becomes an investment for both of us, you know, and it's like, I want to do it justice and I want them to be proud of it. And they feel, you know, kind of special by, you know, having their work drawn. And so it feels like this great collaboration and just kind of energy and, but like, you know, it just has this like positive feel. So I just really enjoy that. Like community is huge for me.
Definitely. And I think it holds you accountable. Like if somebody's investing in you, like, well, this picture is going to be, you can't just turn your back. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I just didn't do that. I flaked on that. So it's giving you another reason to keep going, which is great.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit, we were talking off mic about this, but we were talking a little bit about the community. I mean, I was saying I was a little jealous of how you came into Shockbox and you got these great people around you, because for me, I know that that can be very rare as an artist. It can be very isolating. I know times are changing a bit, but like what a great way to get introduced into the art world.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it definitely was unexpected. I just because I had never really been a part of the art world. Like I didn't really like go to show. Like I just didn't feel like that was like something that I was, you know, a part of. Like I wanted to be, and I'm like, that looks really cool, but I never felt like I could be a part of it. And it seemed intimidating to me.
It is intimidating.
Absolutely.
It's intimidating for people who are artists.
Sure, yeah. Totally. So to be like a part of a community and like not just be a part of it, but just be like scooped up. Like everybody is just like so down to just like share their experiences mm-hmm. and, you know, be excited for you and like have ideas of how you could push yourself to grow or just like be supportive of what they see you're doing.
Yes.
And then also just bounce ideas off each other, you know, has been really so nurturing and incredible and just, you know, it gives you the confidence to kind of go to some of those bigger galleries in LA and be like, all right, like I have this and, you know. And
you've got a support group.
Yeah. Which is great.
It's not just a support group, but it's also, it's peers. It's people who are pushing you to do better and better work too.
Yeah.
I found that with Shockbox, and it is, from my experience, like 20 years of doing this, it's rare. Like a lot of times it's super competitive and we've got a really good thing there. How did you meet Mike and Shockbox? How did that originally start?
Yeah, through Instagram. I think that, so the first show that I had ever applied to, so basically, so I had done three drawings the end of 2019. And that mm-hmm. was like my first, it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I did three drawings. And then January 1st, 2020, I was like, you know what? Like, I really like this. I'm going to make it a goal to put my art in a show.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, okay. So I just started focusing on trying to like refine my craft and, you know, get good at it because I was so brand new. And then, and so I had applied to one gallery in Long Beach and didn't get in, but I kind of looked at their Instagram and like, okay, who do they follow?
Right.
You know? And so then I saw Shockbox was there. So I was like, all right. So, you know, I started following them. And then I didn't really like think too much of it. And then after a while, I think sometime in May, Mike had approached me and asked if I wanted to put any of my stuff on Artsy. And I was kind of like, huh, like I didn't even know what Artsy was. I was like, let me do some research, you know?
Well, and also you can't get on Artsy unless you're affiliated with a gallery. Yeah. A lot of artists aren't even on there.
Right. So it was a huge opportunity. Yeah. And I was like, okay. But then I also had kind of like cold feet because I was like, I don't know like what I'm doing. Like this seems intimidating, but like, cool. Thanks so much. Let me look into it and stuff. And then, I'd been working towards putting together some pieces to submit for, a show there. Mm-hmm. And so I finally, you know, in like August was like, okay, like I'm down to like put something up. And so I put, you know, one piece up on Artsy, and then, later on that month, or I guess in September that year, you guys did the jurying for the 2021 show.
Yes.
And
2021 question mark.
And I submitted my drawing of the Red Wing Billy Boot.
Yes.
And that got in, and mm-hmm. I was like so excited, like just really excited.
And then on the fast track, when did you become, so Amy's also a program artist, which for everybody who hasn't heard the show, program artists are basically the artists that are represented by Shockbox Gallery in Hermosa Beach. How quickly did that happen? I can't remember.
So in November.
November,
so,
okay.
Yeah, November of last year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So yeah, fast track for sure.
I love it. It's
but I
great.
Think it's also like, yeah, it's about your talent, but I think it's also a lot has to do with our personalities and how
sure.
we all
oh, yeah.
are like, you know, show up, right? And like support and are willing to like help. And
definitely.
You know, I think that that's a huge part of it. And so
Mike is very selective. There's a lot of people who try to get into the program.
Sure.
And we're still a pretty small group of people, you know? So yeah, you're looking for talent, but you all are also looking for people who are going to show up, who are going to bring that energy, who are going to drive the others to kind of up their game.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah.
So I kind of came in around the same time, like Mooka came in earlier that year.
Yep.
And so she's one of the newbies. And then Christina, just around the time that I did too. And so we kind of all kind of clumped together and we're like, mm-hmm. all right, like we started doing, you know, because it was all pretty pandemic-y at this point. And
pandemic-y.
So we were doing Zoom calls with just the three of us. So we were like, okay, like what's your goals? What do you want to work on? You know, so it was great to have that support, but not only just like support, but female support. I think like
for sure.
it's so often, you know, women can be very competitive and like, it was so great to be able to just like, you know, be there for each other and kind of like, all right, like, what are our goals? And that group is kind of expanded. So now it's
yeah.
like, you know, we have other people in the program that are, you know, we're all looping in and
yeah.
getting to know. And it's been so awesome. Like, it's such good energy.
It's amazing. And another thing that makes me jealous, because I feel like we don't have a guy's group that's supportive. You know what I mean?
Scott's it's like, definitely jealous. He's like,
yeah.
I wish I was
oh,
a girl.
Oh, he said that? Yeah. No, it is. It's
no
like,
boys allowed.
It's wonderful. I completely understand it. It makes sense. And I'm happy for all the women who are in the group. And it's amazing to have that kind of a support group that
yeah.
not only is it just like, oh, we're just getting together and we're talking, like you're actually pushing each other. I can see you having these secret meetings, scheming,
yeah.
like how to take over the art world. You know?
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
It's really cool that you have that. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay. So for everybody listening, what kind, we've talked about drawing, but what kind of drawing do you do? Like, what's your subject matter? What kind of sparked your interest in drawing?
Yeah. So, so I use charcoal and graphite
mm-hmm.
and, which sometimes don't always play nice together, but I've somehow figured that out.
Yeah.
And, the subject matter I started actually, so after years of not doing anything, so, okay, backtrack. I painted for a little bit for a few years after college. I took some painting classes with my dad and sister just at a community college, and it was just a way to like spend time together and also just, you know, do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so but they had this incredible foundation of like hand rendering. Like they just
right.
they know how to they know perspective, they know all the stuff.
Yeah.
So I was always kind of like would compare myself to them. And so I just didn't really think that my like paintings were that good. And
mm-hmm.
like looking back, I feel like, you know what, they actually weren't that bad. But like I kind of was just like, whatever, you know, I wasn't that satisfied with them. And I think it was because I didn't have the foundation of drawing first. It's like
yes.
I just skipped this step and went straight into painting. And then I was like, why isn't it working? Like,
yeah.
you know, so it's
just something
like,
I always harp on.
Yeah. yeah.
Yep.
So I think that when I was just really finding, like after I had my two boys, I, you know, had kind of just put all that creative stuff on hold because it was like, you know, you're so busy taking care of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
working, all this stuff. So I kind of just didn't make it a priority in my life. And then I just realized like I really missed being creative.
Yeah.
And it was like almost like this insane pull that I needed to do this. And it was kind of interesting. Like I was putting my son to bed and he was 6 at the time. And we usually would do like books before bed. But for whatever reason, this night we were drawing in a notebook and I would draw something and then he would draw it, the
mm-hmm.
same one, you know, and then I drew this pineapple and he like looked at it and he's like, wow, mom, like not everybody's mom can draw like you.
Nice.
And it was just like so sincere. And there was like this sparkle in his eye. And I was just like, wow, like thanks, bud. You know, like it was just so sweet.
You're
and
now
just
my
such
favorite.
A, like, yeah, pure moment, you know. And I was just kind of like, you know what? He's right. Like not everybody can draw, you know. So
yeah, definitely.
So I was just like, you know, and I had been inspired by people who were in the business of craftsmanship or making things. And I just found that to be so interesting. And like, also, you know, like it's dirty and it's gritty, but it has like this incredible, I just saw the passion in it. And so the first thing that I was like driven to draw was this welder's hand. And it was just covered in metal dust. And, you know, if you look at a hand that's covered in metal dust, you could really see all the intricacies of it. And
the wrinkles, the creases.
Yeah, just everything in it. But I saw it and I just thought it was so beautiful. And so that was the first thing that I drew, and I labored over it. I wanted it to be so perfect. And it was like really just starting from the beginning. I couldn't even remember like how to even map it out. And it was just like a huge learning curve. And I remember being so obsessed with like wanting it to be perfect. And I was like texting pictures to my dad and my sister. And I was like, should I put a shadow here? Like, it was ridiculous. And so it took me about a month and a half, and then I finally completed it. And then I was like, okay, like, I really like this. And so I ended up doing another hand and then another hand. And then eventually the hand was holding a tool. And then eventually I was just like, well, I like that tool. I'm going to draw that tool. And so the thing that was really, so I feel like it all kind of like organically presented itself. It like started with a craftsman's hand and then went into tools, and then it went into, you know, work boots. And so it's kind of all on that same theme.
Yeah.
But I just love the grittiness of it. I love that, like, you know, in tools, there's this fantastic opportunity to capture light and, you know, the grittiness of it. But I look at these objects as, because I mean, it is kind of a random thing. Like when someone asks me, like, what do you draw? And then I tell them that I draw like craftsmen's hands and tools, or like,
I love it. I love it. I would have been intrigued automatically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like there's definitely an audience for it,
sure.
but it's not always like, you know, it's not a common thing, right?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So
but it's almost like it's your niche.
Totally.
It's great. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like I'm not really willing to like compromise. It's just like I'm just drawing what is inspiring to me, and you
as
know,
you
and
should.
That's yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but I look at these, you know, objects, it's just like, okay, it's a tool, but I see like kind of a soul in it. And like, you know, it's been held by, you know, whoever knows how many people, and some of them are vintage and, you know, have like helped to put together something, you know? And I think that like so often as a society, we're so focused on the end result of a product, you know, that we don't think about all the heart and hard work that went into creating
it. The process.
Yeah. And so I feel like a lot of this is like celebrating that process.
Yeah.
And
it's a snapshot of the process.
Right.
And it's also, it's creation like once removed, like you're doing a piece of somebody who's already creating something with their hands. That's amazing. Didn't you used to sneak next door to a neighbor's house who was a craftsman?
Bob.
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
Of course, his name's Bob. Bob, we love you.
Yeah. As a super young age, I was probably like, you know, 6 years old, and they would have garage sales all the time. And I would just like peek out my side window and be like so excited on a Saturday morning that there was like little treasures, you know, to be looked at and stuff. But he often was refurbishing things. And so he would be in his garage, you know, sanding things, painting things, cleaning things up. And I would go over there and just chat with him. And, you know, he was probably in his 60s, but it was like we were both kind of little gifts to each other, you know, unexpectedly. And, you know, my mom would be like, where is Amy? And like, sure enough, I'm like next door, like chatting with Bob. So
that's so cool.
You know, so
kind of like
I
kindred
think
spirits
some
on some
too.
Level.
What's that?
Kindred spirits on some level.
Oh my gosh. And I saw him years later. We moved away from that family home, and years later, I saw him, and I was with my two kids, and he like just teared up. He was so sweet. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, it's almost like he was your first mentor in a weird way.
In a weird way.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, not specifically teaching you what his craft was.
And
but
he has no idea that I do this now. I don't even know if he's alive or anything, you know? Like, but it's just, like at the,
That would be cool. If you could find him and like send him a drawing of something like he does,
so
that would be cool. That'd be like full circle.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You should check out Amy's work. I love the detail of your work. I love, one second here. Pause for a garbage truck. We are back from our garbage truck break. So I was talking about the simplicity of light and shadow. It's like when you're doing a painting, yes, you're still dealing with light. You're still dealing with light and shadow. You're dealing with perspective, all those things. but you have an added layer of color that gives you that kind of perspective and the three-dimensional quality to it. Mm-hmm. So you really have to know what you're doing when you're drawing. I love the detail of your work. I love the theme of your work. Everybody needs to check it out. We're going to quickly just tell people where to find your work in case, you know, for some reason they can't make it to the end.
So my work is on my website. It's Aimee, A-I-M-E-E, Mandala, M-A-N-D-A-L-A, art.com. And then I also have my Instagram page, which is A_Mandala_art.
Right. And if you have any trouble remembering how to spell it, just remember the jingle with so much drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being aimed to the double E. All right. So getting back to that, we were talking about business. We were talking about, you know, you getting on the fast track in the art world. I see many things with you. I see like a wonderful energy that you bring when you're talking to people, when you come to shows. Also, I'm interested in if you cultivated that a little bit or if that's something natural. And also with your business, if you learned any skills in your 14 years as a CEO of an architectural firm and how you applied that to your art practice or like kind of getting on the fast track in the art world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like the business side of things definitely has helped to keep me organized and not motivated because I'm motivated by my art, but organized and also kind of like, you know, kind of mapping out what my goals are and then like, okay, we got to like get to there, you know? So I think that like having that kind of fundamental, like day in, day out, this is what you do. These are your goals. This is what you're going to achieve. And I'm also very excited when I check a box. Like if I make a list and check a box, I'm winning.
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah.
So
it's progress.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely part of it. And then I think like with work, I originally was very, maybe like assertive in certain in situations, but could be very shy, like in a group. So like if I went to a gallery show and like, I would probably just like stay in the corner and like not talk to anybody and probably like watch. But like, I think that, over the years have become officers on different boards that have really like pushed me to like do public speaking, networking, all that kind of stuff where it's just kind of like, you know what? Like it's actually not that scary. Like it's a little scary, but then you get over it.
It's intimidating.
Right? Yeah.
A lot of it's mental.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think once you push past that, you find that like everybody's in the same boat. Like everybody at one point was uncomfortable and like
we're all just kids, you know, in adult bodies.
Yeah. And we're seriously. Yeah, and we're all in the same situation. So I think that like the more that I found that I opened up to people and talked to people that like that I got a lot of good feedback and I got people who were like, you know, willing to help, who want to see me succeed, you know? And then I want to see them succeed too, you know, like it's really like a push and pull and this like, you know, building relationships. And once you connect with people who you really feel like are seeing, you know, have that kind of same motivation and drive and fire, like it just is so like, okay, like we got this like together as a team, but also, you know, individually, I think like having that background has definitely been a part of me pushing forward in maybe ways I wouldn't have before. Asking the questions, you know, because I am so new, like just asking dumb questions and not being afraid to not know the answer. And I think that people, when you make yourself vulnerable like that, people are more willing to share and you know, be a part of your story.
And 99% of the time when you've asked the quote unquote stupid question, there's like five other people in the room. They're like, oh my God, thank God. Thank God somebody asked that question.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So that's great. And that is a skill. I always talk about how nothing's a waste, right? Like for me too, waiting tables, I hated it, but I learned so much about customer service that I now apply to when I'm dealing with collectors, writing notes, making sure they're getting their stuff on time, following up with them. I wouldn't have done that otherwise if I'd just gone into the art world. So if you're out there and you're struggling and you're listening, and you're going like, oh, I just need to be a successful artist. Well, use these tools that you're learning right now and you can apply those to your art career. So that's great. And then I'm not sure if it was a two-part question. I'm not sure if you got the energy I was going to say. You always have this amazing energy when you come into the room.
Thank you.
Is that something that you feel like you were born with or is it something you've developed over time?
I feel like I've always kind of had that energy, and it depends obviously on the situation. Sometimes I could be a little bit shy. I was much shyer when I was younger, but I was also a leader. So like I was really into sports. So I played soccer and, and often was a leader in that situation, you know, not so much like public speaking, but kind of like, all right, guys, like this is what we're doing, you know? So, so I feel like that helped shape me in a lot of ways too, because it's kind of like you persevere, you know, you go through, you know, it could be hard and then you get past it. And then also it's a team player kind of thing. So I think that I've always kind of had that in me. It probably has come out more as I've gotten older. And you know, as you get older, you get more confident and kind of like assured of who you are as a person and kind of what direction you want to be and how you want to present yourself.
Or you just stop giving a fuck.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't care anymore. You know, you just stop caring. I think you also kind of gear your energy towards things that really matter to you. You know, there's stuff that's
just start realizing
like,
that time is finite.
Absolutely.
Right? You don't have time for the BS.
Right. And so, so I think that once you start really focusing on the things that actually matter to you, then like, yeah, you're going to have like good energy because it's something that you care about.
It's crazy that you said that. Like, I recorded an episode that I'm going to see if I'm going to put it before or after this, depending on how quickly we get this up. But it was all about that. It was like listening to your body, listening to the passion that you're feeling in that moment, because you do, you start to realize like, I can't be everywhere. I can't spread myself so thin forever. Time, energy, all that stuff is finite. So,
And I feel like I'm a bit of an extremist that way. It's like, I have certain things that I'm passionate about that I am like not willing to negotiate on.
Yeah.
You know, maybe to a fault. Probably to a fault, but it's kind of one of those things. It's like, I would not be happy if I wasn't like, I can't half-ass something. I can't like half put my energy or my, like, you know, it's just, I don't work that way.
Yeah.
So it's like, once I started getting into art, it was like, what can I learn about it? How can I be a part of it? Can I help with installations? Can I help with like, I've been helping with like the artsy uploads, you know, so that I'm like getting to know the different artists. I'm getting to see what, you know, stuff is getting juried into shows.
And that shows, you know, all this stuff shows.
It's so, well, thank you. It all is these different aspects that help make me more rounded, I think, in general as an artist. And also, you know, with other artists, you know, having conversations about it and how we can all improve, you know?
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about the jurying, because that's something that Mike and I put together with the gallery. And you've done what, 3 jurying?
Probably 4.
Is it 4? Oh, yeah. 4 now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of kind of getting into about our second round of juring on this one.
Yep.
And what has that taught you? I know for a lot of artists who've been doing it for a long time, it's a completely eye-opening experience, because it's like, oh, so it's not really just about me and my work, the quality of my work right now. There's so many other factors that are going into it. But
oh my gosh.
For you, what did you learn?
Yeah. Well, I think that first of all, it's just overwhelming how many submissions you get, and there's some that are great and then there's some that are horrible, but I would say that more often than not, there's just these great submissions, but maybe they don't really make sense for that particular call.
Yeah.
And so they don't get in, but it's like, dang, like I wish they were able to get in, because I want to see that piece, you know, but it doesn't always speak to what the theme is, you know. So
exactly.
But I'm always blown away by the quality of work that we get through, Cafe. Like, it's just incredible.
Couldn't agree more. And that's an interesting thing for people to hear, because there's a tendency to get really upset when your work, for some people, that your work didn't get included.
Sure.
And that's just,
or you get bummed out.
Yeah. You're disappointed.
Yeah.
But some people just get flat out angry. And really what you're seeing is that what you're saying and what I'm saying is that your work can be phenomenal. Totally. And like all of the jurors could have wanted to put it in or see it in a different show. It just wasn't right for that show. So don't take it too personally. Just keep working, you know, make sure you're reading, you know, what the theme of the show is. Maybe even research who the jurors are, what their sensibilities are. And that can take you a long way. I wanted to ask, so Amy's got her first solo show coming up.
Yeah.
So where is this? When is it? Yep. How can people see it?
When? So it's at Studio 347 and it's in San Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening night is the first Thursdays. So it's November 4th at 5:00.
Okay.
And so I'm super excited. It's San Pedro, which is really close to Long Beach. So it's like just over the bridge for, you know, some of my hometown people.
Yes.
And close enough to my Hermosa LA people. Hopefully you guys can make it too. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm really excited. It's going to be really focused on all of my craftsman work. And yeah, I'm like overwhelmed by the opportunity.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And so it blows my mind, really, honestly, to think about it. Because it's like I had one piece, the first piece ever in a show in October of last year. And now it's 1 year later and I have a solo show. And yeah. So that's just...
That's amazing.
Mind-boggling and exciting and just like I'm so humbled and grateful.
Are you nervous at all?
No.
No. I'm going to kill this shit.
Yeah, I'm totally nervous. Yeah. And you
That's
know,
normal. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I am just hoping like I have it all like, you know, you can't – I'm like ready to – like, can I just start installing right now like a month ahead of time? But
yeah.
No, you have like a few days to install and you just hope it all works out. So it's just the planning that goes into that. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, getting through. I have a bunch of stuff at the Framers right now. And
cool.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting. I'm hoping to pull it off and I hope, you know, people can come and enjoy the work.
I'm sure you'll pull it off. I mean, the quality of the work is there. So that's it. You know, you're going to be there. You've got a great energy. So
yeah.
That'll be fun. So check out the show November 4th. Did you say that was a Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday. I hope I can make it. So the only thing is I got my, I might have to help some family move some stuff. So,
but I mean, really family first before me.
I know. But no, but I will do my best to be there for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
And is it, how
if
long
not,
is it?
Later.
How long is it up?
It'll be up for a month.
Okay, a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if not, like by appointment or yeah. I might host some open hours on the weekend or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, great.
So yeah.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect. And then also I wanted to talk about some of the other shows that you've gotten your work into. I know you were showing with another program artist, Mike Voss, and weren't you in was it Kansas City?
Kansas City,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of these shows.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So again, through Cafe, I just applied to some different shows. And there was one I had seen that Mike Voss, who's a fellow program artist and charcoal artist, although he is like a renaissance man with all the stuff that he does is really incredible.
He's got like a factory in his place.
It's true. I'm like, what are you doing now?
Where's this space?
But so he had a piece in the Kansas City. It's Jones Gallery in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you should apply there. You know, they have something next month. And so I was like, okay. And I did. And I'm so glad because it's in this historic building and it has like, you know, rustic walls. It's like brick, exposed brick and, you know, concrete and everything. And so my work just really shows so nicely there. You know, it's like there's nothing like a gritty hand on a gritty wall.
Gritty
so, yeah, but it's been fantastic. And although I haven't actually made it out there to see the show in person, David, who is the gallerist there, is fantastic about always sending me really good pictures of it.
Oh,
and
that's
so
awesome.
I'm able to at least see it and in its element and share it and stuff. And so that's been really nice.
And you're getting exposure to different people, different potential collectors. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I got several pieces in the same show that you were in over at BG.
BG, yes.
Yeah, and that's actually the first time I met you and the first like...
In person
opening.
I know. Crazy, right?
So that was really exciting.
That was fun.
You know,
BG's a good gallery.
It's a really good
gallery. And it's in Bergamont, you know, station, which is a really well-known art hub. Yeah, in Santa Monica.
So that was really exciting.
Yeah. So you... And is it... I think you said something like 28 pieces in shows? Since you started?
Yeah, so I've had like 28 pieces and 21 shows in 8 different galleries in the last year.
Oh, that's it.
And I'm like, you know,
see, this is how
I
you
had
do
to
it,
put together my artist CV, so that's why I know this information. But
yeah.
But yeah, and it's just like, hey, like that's pretty cool.
That's
you know,
pretty
it's
awesome.
Exciting. It's exciting.
It's amazing what you can accomplish, right?
Yeah.
It's always, I'm always telling the people to take stock, to take a moment to step back and go, okay. What have I done? What have I accomplished?
Right.
And just in such a short amount of time to see that you've been in that many shows, curated a show. We're going to talk about the next. You've been a juror on a show. You're represented by a gallery. I mean, come on. That's amazing. So
it's really cool.
Yeah,
and I do not, you know, brush off the fact that like it has been, you know, through incredible relationships that I've been able to build within
a
period of time that have helped, you know, get me there. You know, some of the stuff, sure, on my own, but like I wouldn't have applied to that gallery in Kansas City if Mike didn't say, you know, Mike Voss didn't say like, hey, you should apply there, you know? So,
but it's because of choices you made
getting
into here. So it's like, you're just following what's happening, which is
great.
Because some people just
so
close
cool.
themselves off, you know, like, well, they've done this. This is enough. A lot of kind of performance anxiety. So you're pushing yourself to continue.
And that's the thing, you know, like when I got my goal was like, okay, just get in a show, get your piece up on a wall. And then I didn't really have, I didn't know it was next.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was just kind of like, all right, like, cool. I'm going to keep doing this. Like, this is fun. This is cool. It's nice to be able to, you know, have your work in a show alongside these incredible other artists. Like, I'm always just so humbled and blown away by the quality of work that is, you know, I'm surrounded by and lucky to be next to.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wanted to ask you something quickly that just popped into my head about your process of drawing. Is it something, because I remember doing really detailed drawings in the past, and I remember just kind of your mind just, it's almost a meditative process. What is the process like for you? Are you like, is your mind going a mile a minute, or are you just blank, getting into a flow state? How is it for you?
I think it's more getting into a flow state. And that's like a special spot, you know,
it
like
is.
There's different stages for sure. You know, in the beginning when I'm mapping things out, it's obviously I'm thinking more technically of how I'm going to make this all work, how am I going to get everything lined up. And the thing that's kind of exciting is that in the beginning, you know, I always put out guidelines, you know, to kind of measure my pieces, and then I would take a ruler and then measure everything and then make sure it all lines up. But more recently I've been able to do it where I put the guidelines down and then I don't have to measure anymore. I'm able to eyeball it more, which I was like, all right, okay. Like, you know, it's just exciting to get, you know, to that next level. And maybe eventually I won't need the guidelines, you know, we'll see. But so that part is a little bit more, you know, brain working technical. And then I'd say, you know, once I start getting into the detail work, you know, where I'm like, you know, pulling charcoal off the page, you know, with like erasers and kind of like getting in those like little tiny scratch marks or details. And that's when I get lost and just it becomes a flow.
It is.
And meditative state, like you said.
Time disappears.
Gone. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's an amazing.
Which is like an incredible thing. So I think that when you hit that sweet spot, it's like you can't stop because it's just, it's like, this is where it's at right here.
You know? It's almost like you disappear.
Yeah. And which, you know, but there are certain times where, you know, where I'm doing the technical work where I get like, my brain is going to explode because it's, you know, I'm getting lost. And like the other day I was working on laces. I don't know if you'd seen that, but I was working on shoelaces and I was just like, my mind was getting tangled in these laces, you know, and I was like, okay, how do I get out of this? You know, it's like you work through it. And like, definitely when there's a challenge, there's always like more reward at the end when it turns out like somewhat satisfactory. But I will say that, you know, going through that process and when you do hit those kind of like aha moments, it's just like feels good. And you're just kind of flowing at that point.
And I love hearing you talk about like getting off the grid, because I remember that too, like going to drawing classes, like mapping things out, even doing like the grid, the squares and all that stuff. And then getting to a point where I was like just freeform drawing with a paintbrush on canvas and stuff. It's so exciting to feel those different stages too.
Totally.
That makes me excited to listen to you talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. We were just talking a little bit about almost like a palate cleanser, how you kind of take a break from that detail work. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, randomly, I normally work off these reference photos, but then kind of this one time I was out on a walk, and I always love the idea of like going on a night walk, but as a woman, like it's not exactly like totally safe, right? So I wouldn't, but this one night.
Although Amy is a badass, so watch out.
Don't mess, guys. So this one evening, it was like, you know, kind of around sunset, I took a walk, and it just like, I felt like so freeing. And it was like, I took that. So I was like so happy in this moment. And I took this photo and it was like the trees and, you know, some stuff down the road. And when I looked at it later, it was all kind of like blurred down. Like all of the lines were just kind of blurred down. And I looked at it and I was just like immediately felt like I needed to paint it. And it was like literally that night I was like, okay, that's what I'm painting tonight, which is completely opposite of what I normally do. I have very much a plan usually of what I'm working on. And so that was like, okay, putting aside the plan and I need to do this. And so
I hate the term muse, but it's kind of like that. It's like following the muse, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like completely just inspired by it. And so I just like looked at it and was just so happy. And so I thought, okay, like I need to paint this, but I don't even have any paints like available to me. Like, you know, I had some, but they're so old. They're probably all cracked and, you know, so I was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, do a study. So I did a study in charcoal and I couldn't tell if it was good or not. Like I was, cause I'm just not used to working in that mm-hmm. style. And I was like, this suck. Like, I don't know, but I didn't care cause I loved it. Like,
right.
There was like a mood to it. There was like a feeling that I, you know, whether it was just me seeing it or anyone else, but I was so connected to it. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like my first of that kind of drawing. And later on, I ended up putting it in the all-female show that I curated and it sold.
And I remember this piece. I was picturing it right away.
Yeah. And it sold. And I was like, huh. Like other people connect with that too. That's cool, you know? And actually it was sold to Amber Larks, who I adore, who lives up in Seattle, who I think she actually just moved down to LA. So I'm hoping to see her soon. But
shout out to Amber.
Yeah. So I was just it kind of gave me this confidence of kind of like, all right, like let's just kind of start doing that. Like let's explore that a little bit.
Yes.
And the thing that I liked about it was that it was just so freeing. And when my other work is so technical, and even though there are those moments where you're kind of just in this flow, there's still an end goal of like, this is what you want it to look like. And,
definitely.
And yes, I have my style in there and everything, but it generally is you're trying to make it look like this. Mm-hmm. And so it was so nice to be able to break away from that and play.
Yeah.
And just, you know, get my hands dirty and be kind of messy and just see what happens.
Yes.
You know, and have no record, like there's no connection to having to show it, or, you know, it could just be for fun for me or just practice or whatever it is. And there is the trash truck.
Amy and I decided to do this on trash day. So you're going to have to bear with
nothing
us for
like
one
Monday.
Second. Nothing like a little trash. Well, we're talking about the grittiness, right?
Yeah,
this will be the theme. We like it.
Yes, okay. Trash.
We planned this, everybody. Well, there's a couple things that I love about that. And I'm just going to talk through the trash truck.
Yeah.
This trash truck is not going to keep us down.
No.
So two things that I like about that. One is I'm seeing a theme with you and your life and your work, which is great. Which is kind of like trusting a new path.
Yeah.
And also knowing that that path is difficult, but having the gumption. I don't know why I love that word, but the gumption to be able to push yourself, because I see a lot of growth with that. If you're not pushing yourself, you know, and pushing your boundaries, pushing the goalposts forward, you're not going to grow. And I see a lot of growth with you. And even this quick growth we've seen recently comes from that.
Yeah.
It comes from that spirit. Also, the other thing that I love about that is, and it's something that I can relate to when I used to do pop surrealist pieces, they were a lot of very personal stuff from a dark period. And it was always like, is this going to really resonate with people, you know?
Right.
And the thing that I find is, no, it's not going to resonate with everybody, but there is some sort of a universality to, like, if you're exposing something that you're really passionate about that really affects you, there's an automatic audience for it, really, because somebody else is going to feel that from you.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to have the skill to be able to execute it, right?
Sure, sure.
But yeah, it's exciting.
I think it's funny too, because it kind of shows both sides of me, because, you know, there's this technical side of me that maybe could be related to my business life, right?
Yes.
And then there's this other side of me that just wants to be like free and just have fun. And so I feel like that's tapping into that too, which is, you know, hits a different part of me that's like, you know, so special. And so it's been fun, and I've created probably about 7 pieces, and it's called the Moody series.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah. And
there's a little bit of color in some of these. Yes.
Some of them. Yeah. And it's funny because you look at them and some of them, it's like, there's like dilapidated houses and these creepy trees and, you know, and everything's kind of like run down, and there's something about it. Like, it may look kind of creepy or dark, but to me, I look at it and I'm just like so happy.
Yeah.
So, but beautiful. It's funny, like my sister-in-law, she always would like refer to me as hearts and flowers and rainbows, because she's just like, you're so like a happy person.
Yeah.
And you're optimistic, like, oh, yeah. You know, like, it, and so to see this side of me, which is very much a part of me, you know, we're not one dimensional.
No.
And so it's great to be able to kind of tap into both sides, you know, when the mood feels right, you know?
Yeah. I look at that. I'm a huge Tom Waits fan. So when I see that work, the Moody series, I just hear like Tom Waits' voice. It's great. I love it. I love it. I love the moodiness. And I completely agree with you that we are multifaceted people, especially artists. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, let's talk about quickly about the, well, not quickly. Let's talk about the curated show that you did, the woman show. Yeah, because that was awesome. I wasn't even aware it was happening until like a week
Nobody
before.
Nobody was aware it was happening. No, it literally was thought up of on a Wednesday, and then I think I pulled it together in like 2 days.
Cool.
So
that's fun.
Yeah. So I've been helping with uploading, like I'd said, uploading art to Artsy for some of the group shows. And then every once in a while, Mike would put together a show with just stuff that's already on Artsy mm-hmm. with program artists. And so he was like, you know, you could do that whenever you want. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I just like, because I'm me, I was like, okay, but I'm going to like today. Make this bigger. Like this is going to not just, well, and I also felt like I needed to ask permission. It's one thing if Mike goes in and is like, oh, I put you guys in a show, but I didn't know all of the artists. And so I didn't feel comfortable. I was like, so what I did is I reached out to them and was mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm going to put together a little show, an online show on Artsy. Do you want to send me something new? You know, is there something else that you'd like to show? And then I got the feedback that I got was like, oh, yeah, I would. And then I was like, well, started thinking about it. And I was like, okay, well, it's Women's History Month. And I've always been super connected to women in general. Like I went to an all-girls Catholic high school.
Oh, you did?
So I'm used to being in groups of women, and I also, you know, some of my work with the Long Beach Chamber was with the Women's Business Council, and so it's just, I'm like used to like female empowerment. you know, it's like such an amazing thing, and I feel like when women get together, we're able to like be so much stronger and support each other. And so I'm like, all right, like I have some really badass like female artists that I would love to be able to show. Mm-hmm. And so I just started reaching out to all of them. And I thought at first like they would be like, cause some I didn't really know. I just followed them and admired their work. When I asked them, I was kind of expecting them to be like, want to be in your like, you know, little online show.
And, right.
But instead they were like, oh my gosh, yes, this sounds amazing. Like the energy that I got around that show is just people were stoked to be a part of it. And
definitely.
I'm sure also, you know, connected to Shockbox too. And so that was great. And an awesome opportunity. And so, ended up putting in about 46 artists.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that's right.
Yeah, and so it was actually pretty big.
That's
and,
amazing.
Yeah, so it was nice. And
nice to give that many women this opportunity as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so the name of the show was called Hot Damn.
Hot Damn.
Hot Damn. So I think it was just kind of like, you know, it's an unexpected surprise, right?
Yeah.
And so, but also like we're like movers and shakers, right?
Definitely.
So, so it was great to kind of have all these women come together. And the initial plan was not to have a Zoom talk, but then everyone was like, okay, but are we going to have a Zoom talk? And so then we ended up having a Zoom talk, which was great. You know, it was a nice opportunity for everybody to talk about their work.
Yeah, I was there. It was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seemed like it had so much force behind it. It was like, yeah, we're doing this.
So much positive energy.
Yeah.
And I was just really impressed by, you know, what people brought to the table. So,
yes.
And I was so, you know, grateful for the opportunity too. Like, you know,
it's amazing.
Who am I to curate a show? But it was fun. It was super fun.
You're Amy Mandela. That's who you are. And Mike, like, shout out to Mike because, you know, he's so open to these types of things. Like, how many people would let you? He says the same thing to me. I still ask his permission all the time, even though I know he'll let me do like almost anything I want.
Sure.
But I'm like, can I do this? He's like, dude, just do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Well,
so
I think that's
great.
Nice. But I think it's also, you know, when he sees that people have growth ahead of them, like he sees that you have this push or that something that you want to try, he's like, try it.
Yeah. Well, and it's also trust.
Yeah,
I mean, he believes in the people that he has
in
the program and who he works with. So it's cool to have that additional level of trust. It's like, okay, you're here for a reason. Do it.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I did want to mention, I didn't want to forget this, that you did win in 2021. It was Outstanding Businesswoman 2021. It was, who gave you this award?
This was through the Long Beach Chamber's Women's Business Council.
That's amazing. Was it the same day that we did the BG opening? Because I remember we talked about it a little bit in person, or was it?
You know what? I think it was just that week.
Oh, like, was that
the
week?
Opening was probably on Saturday, and I think the event was on Thursday before.
Right.
So
I love it. 2021, the year of Amy. I love it.
Thank
it's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a huge honor. And I think, I mean, a lot of it is it attests to a lot of people who support me in that world. But I think I really enjoy being a part of my community, and it's really come to the fact that I'm just a contributor. Like, I like to get in to the weeds. And so that's kind of all part of it, you know? And
But it's satisfying. I mean, you're getting a lot of accolades with both of your careers now. I love that. It's amazing.
Yeah, like, thank you.
It's not just like you're killing it on one and one's just like a passion project. You're actually succeeding in both, which is amazing.
Thank you. That's hard to do. I appreciate that.
And you're, you know, raising two kids. So I'll have to get tips from
super
you.
Easy, from you all of the so things.
Super easy. They raise themselves. and then you also got into Los Angeles Art Association. I was a member of them for about a year and a half. Uh-huh. It's not an easy thing to do either. There's a selection, you know, so it's not like everybody who applies gets in. So congratulations
on
that.
Thank you.
How's your experience been with that?
It's actually been really good. I've had the opportunity to get into probably 4 shows now.
Yeah.
And 3 of them were online and 1 was in person for their Geographics show. I had one of my Moody
series
in there, which was cool because, like, you know, it's nice to have that be acknowledged as you know, like legit. Feels legit when it's at Gallery 825, right? So yeah, like I feel like that's been a great experience. Peter's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. I actually sold a piece in the last show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the Billy Boot, which has been around for, you know,
oh,
about
that's
a
right.
Year
I
now.
Saw that sale, but I didn't realize it was in the show, LAA.
It was.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
So that sold. So that was exciting to sell a piece through another gallery, you know.
I haven't sold a piece in LAA, so. There you go.
Hey, yeah.
That's amazing.
This is exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I wanted to make sure we mentioned was I know you're in the process of moving into your new studio. I think you've probably moved in, right?
Yeah.
How's that been?
Oh my gosh. It's so amazing. Because before I was working on my dining room table. And so it's like, you know, you'd have to clean up before and after every time, you know, working. And so to be able to just kind of leave your stuff out and because I always like to like come back and look at it, you know, like glance at it and be like, oh, I'm going to tweak this one little thing or whatever. So it's been great. My studio is actually in my garage in my home. So I'm just able to kind of pop in there and work when I have time. So it's been fantastic. And I have a little setup for my kids next to me too. So if they want to do art
that's
next
cool.
to me or, you know, I put up the garage door. So if they want to ride their scooters out front, I can still keep an eye on them and stuff. So, but I mean, being in my element, like it is so peaceful in there and creative in there. Like I set it up, like, you know, I have a rug, I have a couch, I have, you know, it feels like a space, you know, a real space where I can just be there to create, you know?
Yeah.
And even when I'm not drawing, sometimes I'll just sit in there to just, you know, get that energy.
Definitely. Yeah. And I understand because like I used to break down and build up my studio every time I painted kitchen, like when I used to live in a studio, this tiny little studio. And it just makes it easier. It's one more step that's taken away. Like you can just walk by there, be inspired, like, okay, I'm going in.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Congratulations. And also it sounds like it's practical. You can still have your kids out there and watch your kids.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I also like having a studio close. I know a lot of people like it to be removed,
to drive,
really drive to it. It's like two separate places.
Sure.
I actually love having I've always worked at home. So it's like, I find it easy to kind of transition from like, if I'm doing some marketing stuff on the computer, oh, I can just pop into the studio, come back, you know, it flows. Like if I'm taking pictures of work and putting it online, it just makes it easier.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, you know, it's like I'm working late at night, you know, the kids might be asleep, you know, I couldn't.
You want to drive downtown.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Yeah. So it's essential for me that it's at home. But yeah, you know, I can just like set the mood, light a candle, music always, you know, it's just fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I want to get into some of the rapid fire stuff that we always do. Daily routines. Is there something that you do that kind of keeps you, I think you're a hiker, right? But I'll let you answer this. But
I like that you think I'm a hiker. I like to hike.
Okay.
I like to hike, but
you
don't.
You just look like a hiker to me.
Thank you. Was it my boots? Was that it?
Is there something you do every day that kind of, it doesn't even have to be necessarily to get you creative, but just that keeps you sane?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, so I like to hike. I don't hike every day because I don't live in places that are necessarily hikeable.
Right.
But I am definitely active. Like working out for me is essential to my sanity. Like Same. If I don't, even if I'm not, like it's a rest day, I still have to walk or do yoga or stretch or do something. Like movement is absolutely a part of keeping me feeling stable, you know?
Me too.
And so if I, you know, and obviously there are certain days where I can't for whatever reason, and that's fine. But for the most part, movement every day, I enjoy, you know.
Is that in the morning? Things.
Always in the morning.
Me too.
Yeah. And if I can sprinkle it in throughout the day too, like I love to just take a walk midday. Like when I'm working in my office downtown, I'll go for walks on my lunch break all
or
around
hikes?
The marina.
Just kidding.
What'd you say?
Or hikes.
Or hikes.
I'm trying to like get the hike in there, you know.
I do like a good hike, you know.
I like a good hike every now and then.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I definitely agree with that. Also, it's not only does it keep you sane, right? I mean, it's just for me, like I can fall into a state of depression if I'm not moving, you know, at least a few times a week. But also it's like a meditative process. Sure. I think sometimes when you're moving, ideas can come to you. It's like whatever quiets that brain and allows things to come in through like a different, you know, opening, I'm all for.
Absolutely.
We talk about superpowers here because I always think of artists as superheroes. Is there something that you do or you have a go-to that gets you creating? Like if you're having a block or maybe not a block, maybe you're just not feeling it. Is there something that gets you going?
I think honestly, and this may not feel like a superpower, but I think it's just like determination.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm very, very persistent.
Yes.
So, and routine, you know? And so it's like, even if I'm not feeling it, like I told you earlier, like I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not drawing at a certain time of day.
Yeah.
And so I almost just kind of feel like even when I'm not in the mood, I will go in there and start doing something.
Yes.
And like whether, you know, if I get into it or not, but I usually do, you know, I'm at this state right now where I'm, I think because it's so new and exciting that I'm just kind of like, go, go, go. And so it's very unusual for me to not be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm not, or if I'm just tired, really, that would be like what the reason for me not to do it. I just sometimes just sit in there, you know, or like I said, I could do some of those like more moody series works where it doesn't have to be perfect. And you know, it's a little bit looser and a little bit more about feeling and all of that.
Yeah. Trusting kind of what's going on inside. But also, I've talked about this a lot. Some artists disagree, but I think sometimes just getting in there.
Totally.
Just starting some movement, whether you just start drawing or doodling, whatever. It sparks something in your brain. And
I think also, like very often, you know, we say like, oh, we have a creative block. And just saying that is a block.
You're putting it out there.
Yeah. Like you just can't. You just have to do. Like I just really believe that like, you know, and even if you throw some stuff together and you hate it, you're still moving past it.
Definitely.
You know, you're still, you know, getting, you're still creating, you're still learning. And sometimes when you have mistakes or things that you don't like, you learn from those too. So,
or you use them.
Or you use them. Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things for me that I'm so excited about in recent years is I've had so many paintings where I'm like, you know, this is like, I had a preconceived notion of what I was going to paint.
Yeah.
And then I started doing it. I'm like, it's just not working. But I'm stubborn enough, it sounds like you are too, that I just push through it and I start to trust where it's headed. And they become, most of the time, they become my favorite paintings.
Yeah.
And if I would have just given up on them, you know, like not trusted that I would be able to get there.
Right.
It just would have been not wasted time, but you know what I'm saying.
Did you see my self-portrait?
I'm not sure if I did.
Okay.
I'll have
to show you because I don't know, for some reason, because I had a lot of changes this year.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like, and a long, long time ago, I kind of mapped out doing this self-portrait. And then I was just kind of like, whatever. And so I thought, you know what, it's kind of a good time to go back to it. And there's something about doing a self-portrait that is like so incredibly uncomfortable. I mean, you're really, really looking at the intricacies of yourself, both on the inside and on the outside, and like how you're portraying yourself and also your work. And so I went about it like I would a normal technical drawing and, you know, had all my guidelines, everything measured, but it was so flat. And man, I respect people who could do portraits so much because it's just, it is a beautiful craft, you know, and just to be able to bring the life to a face, right? And so it was bad. And it was, and for me, I'm just like, oh, this is not cool. Like I you know, I can't get past like this sucking. And so, yeah. And so it was so flat and lifeless. And so I just kind of had no, it was like no skin in the game anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, it doesn't matter if I fuck this up. Like I can just, so I just stopped trying to make it look so much like me and just started to like throw color down. Which nice. I don't usually work in color, right? I'm usually like in charcoal and stuff. But mm-hmm. I was like, I had this idea that I wanted to put some color in there. I didn't really know how. And so I was just like, whatever. And so I just started throwing down charcoal pastels and like blending stuff all over. And it's honestly one of my favorite pieces. It is like so strangely fun.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't look like me, but it's a self-portrait, guys. Yeah. Like, like, it's, but it was just so freeing and empowering in some way. And, you know, and I went and I got it framed. I was like, I'm getting this framed and it's going up in my house and I have it up in my bedroom and it's it makes me so happy. And there, it's also a moment in time.
Captain, sure.
You know?
And it's like, it's self-trust for it. And you were listening. Something like it was almost like it was meant to go in that direction.
Totally.
If you had not listened to your instincts or whatever it was, the drive, it would have just been a failed piece.
Right. And I'm hoping to kind of incorporate that into future pieces, one coming up very soon, actually. So
hello.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Teaser. I'm excited.
I love it. And I encourage you to look at Amy's Instagram because she's posting every day and she's got a lot of like behind the scenes stuff, great stories. I heard a rumor she will be getting into reels more.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to put that out there.
We'll
accountability.
See.
Look for, yeah, okay. Well, maybe not reels, but we were talking about that.
Yeah.
But her Instagram is wonderful. So check out that. I want to see this. Where can I see the self-portrait?
It's on, it's posted on my Instagram page. Yeah.
Oh, wow. How did I miss this? I check out your site every day.
I'm sure you liked it or something.
Maybe
I don't know.
I did. Okay, I'm going to go back and look at it.
Okay, well, I'll send it to you. Yeah, you'll check it out.
I want to show you off when we're done. I want to show you, like, it reminded me of something that happened with me with a self-portrait. I'll show you
Yeah.
A lot of people push back on this one, but I talk about biggest failures. It doesn't have to be failure in the conventional sense, but something that you were trying to achieve that you didn't and you learned something from it. Does something come to mind?
Well, so the first...
I guess we did just talk about the, the portrait. That's
well,
kind of,
I think, yeah that could be totally. I mean, and I do think that, like, this is probably what you get your pushback on is like, you know, failures, I feel like are so, like, I don't feel like anything's really a failure because I feel like you learn so much, right?
Sure.
So it's all about shaping who you are as an artist.
That's a negative connotation.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I will say, like, the first gallery submission that I did, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And so I put together, it was almost like a PowerPoint. Because I'm so used to like working in the business world, right? And so I'm like, this translates, right? Like, here's who I am. Like, this is my work. But it was all in PDF. And they're like, yeah, man, we just want like some JPEGs of your work. Like, you know, it's just like,
I feel like that could have gone either way, though.
It was entirely too thorough, is my problem.
I feel like that could have gone either way, though, because sometimes galleries are like, this is different. Like, wow, they put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah, no, they did not care. Do that again. But then again, I mean, who knows? It also could have been in that situation where they were juried out because it didn't make sense for their show or whatever.
Sure.
You know? It could have, you know, been beyond just my PDF. But I just thought that was funny.
It's like, I love
that,
though.
And you just, like, learn from it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's not how you submit for a show.
But sometimes, I will say... my own little pushback, going the extra mile can be good and giving them something that they're not used to seeing sometimes can work. So I would almost encourage you to try that again, like with a different gallery, because they might be like, they might love it and eat it up. So you never know.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Advice to young Amy.
Ooh.
So this can be life advice. It can be art advice. It can be business advice, whatever you want. But something, all your years of experience now, looking back, any age, what would you impart to yourself?
I think that I would probably go back to right after college when I started taking those painting classes with my sister and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And even though like they were always so encouraging and fantastic, I think that I just internalized too much that I was not as good as them. And I compared myself too much. And I think that we can relate that to any, you know, even now, like not comparing myself to other artists or where they are at. Cause like, you know, different people, cause even with Joy's show, I was like, oh my gosh, she has so many elements to it. And like, you know, I have a show coming up. Like, do I need to do more things like, you know, not like that, but just whatever, you know? And I also am kind of like, well, like that's her story. And, you know, she came from, you know, she's been really invested in developing her craft over several years now. And, you know, you're new and this is so, and so, you know, not just with her, but all, you know, the other artists, everybody has pluses and minuses and things that they're really strong at. And, you know, sometimes you can easily fall into that comparisons. And so I think it's really
it's
important.
Very easy nowadays with Instagram
not,
too.
Yeah. Not to compare yourself, but be inspired by them.
Yes.
And if you like someone and you like their work and you are, you know, then ask them questions. If you look up to them, you know, instead of just being like, oh wow, they're so cool. Like I want to be like them or whatever, like you be yourself, but ask the questions about the things that you really are interested about their work, you know,
definitely.
Whether it's their medium or how they're going about marketing themselves even, or, you know, because that whole aspect is a whole nother side of the business for sure.
Oh yeah. And nowadays we have that ability to do that. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have done that even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like reach out to people that you see from across the world,
working what an incredible opportunity.
Just DM them anytime. Yeah. Most people will answer you too.
Yeah.
So just
incredible.
Don't be shy. And if somebody doesn't answer you, just don't take it personally.
No,
they're busy, whatever, but yeah, nothing
totally.
Lost. What do you, well, I guess you're working on the solo show now.
Yeah.
And the Moody series, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
Thank you.
I want to see the self-portrait. Is there, freaking scam likely. Okay. Sorry about that. Is there anything that you want to talk about? Is there anything you want to plug?
Man. Well, we already plugged the show.
Yes,
so
we did.
So that's good. No, I think we hit all the bases. I think this was, you were very thorough. Good job.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, I know. I feel like I was being watched carefully on this one. So
yeah.
I'm glad. I want to make sure that you're happy and that you feel like, you know, people have got a taste. I would recommend checking out Amy's site, her website, her Instagram, Shockbox Program Artist. There's a lot of good information. You've done a couple articles.
Yeah.
Maybe talk about those.
Sure. I was featured for Voyage LA and Shout Out LA. And then I have one coming up soon, but it's not quite written yet through, well, maybe I shouldn't say it out loud, but yeah. So there's some other stuff coming up.
Something coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something coming down the pipeline. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got this. So,
yes.
You know, you're already listening to this.
Totally. And then I do have an interview and live IG, probably the week of the show that I'll be doing with What's This About podcast.
Oh, cool.
So.
Okay, nice.
Keep an eye out for that. I'll
awesome.
Post some stuff on that.
It's going to be Instagram Live.
Yes.
Cool. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great. People know where to find you. And thanks for coming on. Thanks for making the trek up here.
Thank
it was great
you.
Checking out the studio. It was so much fun. We will definitely do a round 2 sometime down the road if you want.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
so fun.
For sure. All right. Thanks. This has been the Living Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I just want you to know that I appreciate you being here, and I'm grateful to be in your ears. Your art and creative life on this planet is meaningful, so thank you for sharing it with me. If you like this podcast, whatever platform you're listening to it on, please subscribe and share it with your friends. You can also leave me a positive review to show your support. This helps me to reach more people with the algorithmic magic and keep the show going strong. If you want to see more of what I do and check out the art that I create, you can visit my website at www.pmsartwork.com or follow me on social media everywhere at PMS Artwork. That's it for now. See you back here next time.